Welcome to the world today. My name is Frank Weltner. I am the librarian for JewWatch, the largest compendium of information about Jewish organizations and news on the internet today. In addition, I am the librarian and archivist for a new website, www.americanussr.com, which is already the largest compendium of history concerning the negative aspects of the United States of America, which the CIA, FBI, the presidency, the Congress, and all other agencies of the United States want you to know nothing about. Well, how are you doing today? Today happens to be December the 30th, 2010. In 2 days we'll have New Year's. People are enjoying themselves in festivities. My neighbors next door are partying. They're drinking, having a good time, so if you hear them, it's not a riot, it's people enjoying their lives. And you'll just have to put up with it, because I'll be darned if I'm going to go over there and tell them that because I have a radio show, that I have more rights than they do, and therefore they have to stop making noise over there. I'm just not going to tell them that. They work hard, they're teachers, it's vacation time, and they can do whatever the heck they want over there, and you and I will just have to put up with whatever it happens to be. Now, how's that? I think that makes me a fairly good neighbor. At least I hope that it does. And at any rate, that's the way it's going to be. Well, I've lived through another year. I'm 69 years old as of yesterday. I went through another year of being able to criticize the American government without being arrested by that government, which is known for arresting people like myself on numerous occasions. This is a country that loves to incarcerate people. Why not me? Why not you for listening to me? Why not everybody? The country seems to be on a roll right now. We have people being shaken down at the airports and now in supermarkets, in malls. And now Walmart is cooperating with the federal government. Someone told me that he thought that what they were going to do was, when people went to Walmart to get their ammunition, that Walmart would report their credit card number and whatever to the federal government, so they would know who is collecting ammunition. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, that's really bad news that a big retail box store like that would see fit to cooperate with a fascist federal government in the freak show at Washington, D.C., a government that's constantly at war with almost every nation that it sets its foot in. At least it seems that way. We're always at war with somebody. At first we're at war with Europe, then we're at war with people in Asia, now it's the Middle East. We're always at war. It's just really ignorant, to tell you the truth. America's one of the most ignorant countries on the face of this earth. It takes a certain amount of viciousness for a nation to start a war, and especially to pay for these wars. You know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, then billions, then trillions. We spent trillions in the Middle East in the last 20 years. And I used to think, well, you know, we have the wrong friend in Israel. And the more I think about it, and I thought about it yesterday on my birthday, Israel's a pretty good friend of the United States, because Israel's just like us. Israel is a vicious killer state that doesn't care about anybody's individual rights, that is egotistical, that loves to collect weapons and to use them on innocent people who don't really have the technology to shoot back. They're a chicken country like the United States. If our people had to use the weapons that are being used by the peoples of Afghanistan and Iraq, and we didn't have these big designer weapons that allow us to bomb people from 30,000 feet in the air. If we had to go down there and do hand-to-hand combat with them, I don't think we'd last very long at all. And the only reason we win is that we're able to use these cruise bombers from thousands of miles away and to blow people up without even being near them. Because basically, we have a wussy army, a wussy navy, and a wussy air force. All these kids are they're too well fed. They're too well entertained. They're always looking at NFL football, no matter what theater they're in, on color television. While the people that they're killing are sitting in the dust, wondering what's going on. How could the United States come into their country and do things like this to them, such as bombing their home and killing their grandmother, grandfather, and all their children and their wives, and get by with it? They must be thinking at this point that it's a very, very evil universe indeed. And it is. It's a very evil universe indeed that would allow countries like Israel and the United States to murder people this way. Oh, you don't think it's murder? You need to really think again, because any time that you leave your own country and fly across the world to kill other people in their country, well, then you're doing something that's quite evil. And if you folks don't understand that, then I feel sorry for you. I feel sorry for you. You don't know morality at all. You probably, if you don't understand it, you probably think that since it's your country doing it, it's okay. I guess that's what the Russians must have thought when the Jews were killing them in Russia in the 1920s, when they were lining them up and shooting them outside of their town. Well, I'm a Russian, and these people may be Jewish who are killing me, but they have a right to do it because I love Mother Russia. And if they want to kill me, I'll die for my country. The irony being that they weren't dying for their country at all. They were dying for the viciousness of the banking system in America that sought to disarm and then to rearm the Soviet Union and use it as a warlike monster that it could threaten people in Europe with. And by threatening the people in Europe with it, they could cause the United States, France, England, and other countries to have to purchase weaponry to fight off the Soviet Union. And whenever these nations, including the United States, bought any weaponry to fend off that Soviet Union that the Jews controlled, guess what? The Jews at the banks made money, because money had to be created to create the weapons. And when the money was created, it had to be loaned out from the banks back to whatever company was making the weapons and back to the United States itself. Because that's the way this stupid banking system works. Jews make money and non-Jews pay the bill for all that money. Well, the same thing when Paulson said you have to pay $1 trillion or you're going to lose the world economy, and so we paid $1 trillion. Although everybody called up their congressman and said, no, don't pay it, we don't want to pay it. The Congress on the first vote said, no, we're not going to pay it. And then they paid it, and guess what? We still have a world depression, don't we? The banks were lying as usual. And the United States is lying again. Do you know how you know when the United States is lying? It's when one of its ambassadors or agents are talking, or the president's talking, and you see their lips move. That's when you know the United States is lying. Because that's how often the United States lies. Well, look at the Vietnam War. Look how many times Nixon and LBJ and McNamara got up and said, we're doing well and we're going to win this war, when they knew full well we'd already lost it. And yet they were lying. They were standing up with their lips moving. And that's what's happening right now. McCain is standing up and lying. Obama's lying. Gates is lying. They're all lying. Every darn one of them. The United States is basically a professional liar. We even have an agency, several of them actually, hundreds of them really. We have the OSHA, which lies all the time about which companies are in arrears on their safety. You know, the companies that that pay off the politicians, they don't have to fix themselves up nearly as much as those that don't. And then you have the CIA, which is a deceitful organization like the Mossad. You know, their motto is that we're here to lie in order to win wars. Victory through deceit. Deceit, that's the name of the game with these big colonial warlike countries. And America is filled with warlords. And we have plenty of fascist Americans who love the idea of our country being at war. There is no end in sight to the people that want to join our armed forces. They don't care if they're killing children or if they're killing people's mothers. Well, it's true, they don't. Anybody that joins an army and allows themselves to be used as a professional murderer like that obviously has no morals whatsoever. They may have morals in other fields, but not in the field of following a direct order to go and shoot some kid in order to make his father confess something. There's always somebody willing to do that. That's what these armies are all about, especially the modern ones. And if you don't think so, then buy yourself an airplane ticket to Cuba and ask for a visitor's card to Gitmo and pay off some of the troops so that you can listen to the Arabs screaming when they're whipped and beaten and filled with drugs that cause pain in every cell of their body in an effort to get them to confess to things that they didn't even do or know nothing about. Most of the people in the Gitmo were arrested off the street on hearsay. They don't go to courts very much with them because they know they're going to lose, and eventually they're just going to have to let them go. The rest of the world knows what's going on in Gitmo. They know it's a torture chamber. We know it's a torture chamber, too. I don't think there's an American that doesn't know that Gitmo's a torture chamber. And there isn't one American that has caused any trouble about that. Oh, they might have written to their congressman, who's a absolute half-wit and a satanic member of the empire, who doesn't care about people being killed or tortured. He only cares about getting his cheap booze down at the Senate bar for almost nothing. He only cares about taking free junkets on expensive airplanes all over the world where he's wined and dined as though he's important. When in fact, if he's a congressman or a senator, he's just a little flake is all he is. He's a part of this imperial presidency that we have, where the president decides what wars he's going to take part in, and the senators and representatives try to get freebies for their own state in support for those wars. So the money exchanges hands, the war goes on forever, the congressman's reelected, and the country goes right down into the crapper, because the country is going to continue to do this forever because, well, it's how we make our profits. We make our profits by murdering people everywhere in the world that we want to do so. And so far we haven't done anything in Europe in a while, but we certainly did in the 1940s, didn't we? I don't know if you know it or not, but in the 1940s, we went on a killing spree, bigger than we should have in World War II. I mean, it was a huge killing spree. And if you just wait a few seconds, I'll tell you all about it. In the 1940s, United Kingdom and the United States went on a killing spree whereby they bombed Germany 24 hours a day. Now, in the beginning of the war, cities were not bombed, and the Germans were very careful not to bomb London. But they were blown off course one evening, and a few bombs got into the suburbs, at which point Churchill, hoping to get city bombing started, bombed Berlin while Adolf Hitler was giving a speech to the German people. And after that, the Germans started bombing London, and then England was free to bomb all the other cities in Europe, especially in Germany. And Germany, of course, had more cities than Britain. Germany was a far more advanced country than Britain. It had many, many cities, and Britain only had four or five. So what happened was, the British would bomb at night, and they would use a different mechanism to try to get close to towns and cities all over Germany and to drop bombs on them. Now, these were places, in most of the cases, that didn't really have anything worth bombing. But they wanted to bomb Germany into the Dark Ages so they would never have a war again. So what they would do, they would bomb a small Christian town in Bavaria until there was hardly a building left. The people would go to bed that night, and in the middle of the evening, with no warning, all of a sudden their house would simply disappear. And they would be buried in the rubble beneath it, as were all their neighbors. Well, the Germans had a fit over this, and they asked the British and the Americans to stop doing this, but we kept doing it. As a matter of fact, I learned German at the Goethe Institute at Koko am See in West Germany. That was in the 60s or 70s, somewhere back in the dark ages of my life. And I remember the teacher spent 15 minutes to tell us about World War II and her experiences. And what she told us was that she and her brother or sister, whichever, had gone with her mother to get eggs. And the mother had the eggs in a basket, and they were inside of a cloth bag inside the basket. And it was winter, and they were walking across the snow. And along comes an Allied fighter jet. I guess it wasn't a jet. I guess it was just a fighter. They didn't have jets back then. But they had machine guns. And that aircraft, started to shoot at this family, at her mother and herself and her brother. And they started running, and they jumped into a culvert. And the bullets went right past them, right over their heads. And the plane made several passes at them and missed them. And then when they got up to leave after the plane had left, the mother looked into the basket and the eggs were broken. And she started crying and cursing because, look, she said, the eggs are broken. Look, the eggs are broken. And she said, I was so happy to be alive, I couldn't understand why my mother was crying because the eggs were broken. But I didn't know, she said, I didn't know what hunger was because we were hungry all the time. We never had anything to eat, and she wanted to feed us those eggs. And now they were spoiled, and we couldn't have them. And there were no more eggs to be had for days because that was all the eggs that they were going to get. So she had to go through several days with almost nothing to eat. And that's why her mother was crying. Not because she was angry because they survived, whereas she should have been happy because they survived, she said, but because being a mother, she wanted to help her children and to feed them, and she couldn't even do that. And then there was the horror of the Americans shooting at her family from the air, when they had no guns, no way of hurting America or England. But it was the war policy to kill every civilian on the ground that they could find. And there you have America and England. These two crap countries that have no respect for human life whatsoever. Absolutely none. Absolutely none. And they bombed Germany day and night, from the air, including places that were purely civilian. Some of them were tourist areas where people would go to take a warm bath in a spa. And maybe they had something medically wrong, and they would use spas to treat people back then, and they still do. It's a tradition in Europe. And if America had warm water areas that were fed by underwater hot springs, well, we would do it too. And in certain places, we do have hot springs, such as Hot Springs, Arkansas. and people would go there for the baths. FDR went there. He had polio, and he would find some relief by sitting in the baths with the hot water that had sulfur in it. But this is what we do. We kill people. We as a nation kill people. I try to mention this every time I get on the air, that we are killers. Because I don't want you to feel good about yourself. Because your country's doing evil, and you need to mentally suffer because of the suffering that you, not you, but your country is giving to others. You need to be constantly made aware of this. You need to be made aware so much that eventually you and I and other people will figure out what we can do to stop this. Because this is sheer evil. That's all there is to it. Well, Obama recently bypassed the Senate and appointed an envoy to Syria. The Senate didn't have but a few days to pass who he wanted, so he decided that he would just destroy the results of the election and do that, which is what dictators do. I think Obama's kind of a dictator. I know that George W. Bush was a dictator. He didn't care what kind of a lie he gave to people. And he also said, even at one point, I don't mind a dictatorship as long as I'm the dictator. And these presidents are dictators because they have that law that they can start a war whenever they want. Because the power to do that has been granted by Congress already. All they have to do is start attacking countries, and it's called the War Powers Act. The Constitution no longer exists in terms of the Congress declaring war on a country. The president can do it by himself. Or at least he can conduct a war as long as he doesn't declare it. Only Congress can declare it. But the president can fight it even without the declaration because of the War Powers Act. Just another act that destroyed more and more of the Constitution, cutting it to shreds, like shooting it with a 50 caliber machine gun. Until there's so many holes in the Constitution that if you held it up to the sun and looked at the sun, you'd be blinded in seconds because there's so much light pouring through it. There's just nothing left in the wording that could possibly save you from the monstrosity of the imperial presidency and the imperial senators and the imperial representatives, who represent no one but themselves and the bankers. Because the government and the banks, which are the New World Order, are basically all there is to the government. It's all about banking. It's all about greed. It's all about money. It's all about screwing people over, whether they're Americans here at home, with people reaching into their clothing to feel parts of their bodies that aren't supposed to be felt by law, or bombing a family's home in Andalar and killing the mother and the father and the children and the grandfather and the grandmother and the grandchildren and everyone else in the family, so that there is 25 dead people there, whom the American government then announces are terrorists. They're terrorists. And they're part of the militia. This was a family that had militant soldiers in it. And the militant soldier might actually be no one. Might just be a mother whose husband was somewhere else in the army. Her children were there with her, and that's all that got killed, was the woman and all the children and the grandparents. And then the evil American government comes up and lies and says, we killed 24 militants. And they don't have to explain themselves, so they can say whatever they want. And remember what I told you, that when the United States opens its mouth, it's lying. It's always lying. Why would it ever tell the truth? The truth isn't nearly as good as a good prefabricated lie. Why would they want to tell the truth ever? Even if the truth is good, the truth with a lie attached to it would be even better. And that's what we're faced with. A lying, evil government that's a piece of trash. Well, something interesting is the former Israeli president's been convicted of rape. I think all their presidents should have been convicted of rape. They raped Palestine. They raped Gaza. They raped Jerusalem. They raped Haifa. They raped Lebanon. They raped Beirut. They raped the Hamas. They raped America. They tried to rape Germany after Germany was defeated. I think they should all be convicted of rape. But the man that was convicted of rape, this one particular person who took the rap for all the other rapists in Israel, is the former Israeli president Moshe Katsav. He had a dramatic fall from grace. He rose from humble beginnings. You know the old Jewish story.
Well, yes, he rose from humble beginnings. We came to this country with nothing, and now we have positions of great leadership.
It's a little Jewish story that the Jews love to tell over and over again. Well, anyway, he rose from humble beginnings, become a symbol of achievement for Jews of Middle Eastern origin. Many of whom are, I suppose, rapists and mafia people, killers, traitors to their original country, giving secrets away during wars so that other people can exploit their host state. Oh, that's what these Jewish people have done throughout their history, is to betray the countries that allow them to live there, because they have no loyalty to these countries. If they did, they wouldn't betray them so much. Do you think that the Jews who gave our atomic secrets to the Soviet Union, do you think they loved us? Do you think they were grateful for living here? The Sobels, the Rosenbergs, do you think they were grateful Jewish people? Were they good moral people of high stock? Came here, their parents came here as poor people, and they made it to the top in New York, and then they gave our atomic secrets away to Russia. Are these good people? Are these people of high moral standards? I mean, are you going to disagree with me about my interpretation of the Israelis and the Judeo-Bolsheviks who killed 65 million people in Russia and got by with it and didn't have it reported in the newspapers because the New York Times was run by Jewish Bolsheviks themselves, and so were the Washington Post, but they lied and said that they were capitalists, which is the same thing as a Bolshevik, or that they were bankers, which is the same thing as a Bolshevik. Sometimes I feel like Wookiee, you know, that Star Trek creature with the hair that falls down over his face. And he's always making ape-like sounds because he can't talk very well. Not that I can't talk very well, but sometimes I just feel like maybe I should have been born a Wookiee. Because, you know, if I just screamed like the Wookiee whenever he didn't understand something that was said to him, people would look at me and think, "Oh, you poor creature! You don't have the ability to speak. You're just a poor Wookiee." But since I have the ability to speak, well, then, you know, I feel like I have to speak, because this is what the world made me for, was to speak to you, to let people know the danger that they're in, and to let them know of the immorality that their country has been responsible for, and how it dips its fingers into blood. The blood of the people that it kills day after day in these foreign countries for profits, so they can launder drug money and oil money through their banks, and so that the hands dripping with blood in the Senate from the senators and the representatives with their hands dripping with blood can run this country without ever representing a single real American, but always representing Judeo-Bolsheviks in New York who run these banks, and Judeo-Bolsheviks who fly back and forth from New York to Tel Aviv, and who trick the United States into spending money on war so that Israel can have more money through its Judaic-Bolshevik banks. Well, Moshe, who is a disgraced politician now, he rejected a plea bargain that would have kept him out of jail. So now he's going to serve 4 to 16 years in prison, probably. The verdict has been seen as a victory for the Israeli legal system and for women's rights in a decades-long struggle to chip away at the nation's macho culture, which once permitted political and military leaders great liberties. Well, that's pretty funny. It once permitted political and military leaders great liberties. In other words, they could rape Palestinians. They could rape Israeli girls. They could do the same thing that Saddam Hussein's sons were criticized for doing. They could, you know, when they were raping the girls of Baghdad, that was the story. Did you ever get the name of a single girl that was raped by Saddam's sons? I never heard of a single name of somebody who was raped by his sons. And I wonder if Chalabi, the guy who lied about Saddam having weapons of mass destruction, the one that had President Bush's ear, along with the ears of the evil neocons who were basically satanic Rothschild Jewish people who had penetrated the Republican Party by pretending that they were conservatives, but they were really, really radical communist types of the Judeo-Bolshevik heritage. You know, those Jews, those neocons. You know, like the Scooter Libbys and so forth, and they all loved their Jews. They loved them. They loved them dearly, and they would do anything that the Jews wanted in order to make them happy. And so they started wars in places like Baghdad and Kabul in Afghanistan. I guess you pronounce Kabul. The whole thing is a big Jewish cabal, actually. But it's pronounced Kabul. I was teaching over in Europe when I was stationed over there at a military base. And I was asked to teach at the high school because they needed somebody there, so I was teaching there. And this kid would go down to Kabul, Afghanistan, and he would buy dope down there and bring it up to the school and sell it. Now, he was kind of a smelly, stinky little kid. He was always on the road hitchhiking back and forth, and he'd get this money for this dope, and he even had it hanging off of his belt in sausages. And he would cut a piece off and sell it to the kids. So I told the principal about it. I said, this kid's selling dope in the school. Principal looked at me and says, I don't want to hear it. I said, but he's selling dope. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to get involved in this. Just don't even tell me. I don't want to be involved. Well, that was 40 or 50 years ago, and it was on a military base, and he didn't want to get involved. So the kid was running around the school selling dope. Good old Kaiserslautern American High School. Okay, so we have this victory, which is seen by this reporter that I was looking at his story, which is in from the AP. It's in Yahoo News. You can all go up and take a look at it if you want. He could have stayed out of prison, but the fact that he's going to prison is a victory for women's rights in a nation where men are able to rape them and slap them around and even enslave them. But that's ridiculous because they're still enslaving women. There's still a slave trade that goes on where Jews go up to Eastern Europe and they sign girls up to come to Israel to work for a rich woman, and they're going to clean her house and all that, cook for them. And these poor girls from Eastern Europe are stupid, and they're not educated, and they weren't raised with even a television set. So they take off on the plane, and they get there, and all of a sudden they find themselves thrown into a room with bars on the windows, and they're told in no uncertain terms that to pay for their flight back, which is going to be $8,000 or $9,000, or maybe even $80,000, they have to work as whores. and to service Jewish men and whoever wants to buy them. And so their lives are ruined and they're enslaved. And this goes on in Israel right now. And you can go up to Jew Watch and just go to Google and say white slavery in Israel, and it will take you to the stories that are printed in newspapers. Probably the New York Times is one of them, and the Jerusalem Post and all that. I never lie to you. This is the truth. Israel is up to its neck in white slavery. And one of its favorite ways of doing this is to get these poor Russian girls and these little girls from these Eastern European countries like East Germany, where they're just kind of stupid. Well, you know, men who want sex, they don't mind if the woman that they're having sex with is stupid. In fact, it may make them feel even more powerful. You know what I mean? I mean, this might be a good thing for both sides. The girl might be stupid enough not to realize that she's being screwed. And the man doing this to her might get off on the fact that she's just that stupid. I'm probably overstating that. I think I'll retract that. That's probably a little too harsh. Because these girls really suffer. It's really not funny to make a joke about this, because this is really very, very tragic. But what's really tragic is how these American newspapers, who are run by Judeo-Bolsheviks, won't really criticize Israel for having whorehouses throughout its country and for kidnapping girls from Eastern Europe. I mean, they make light of it. They make light of it by not stopping it. They could stop it. But it's very hard to get a Jew to arrest a Jew. They'll arrest a goy. They'll enslave a goy. They'll enwhore a goy, like they do with all these hundreds of girls every year that they bring to Israel. And they sell their sex services. It's a terrible, terrible thing. Any rate, editorially, the reporter said that this was good for the Israeli legal system and women's rights, and it chips away at the nation's macho culture, which once permitted political and military leaders great liberties. Well, it still gives them great liberties. It still does. They arrest these kids in Gaza, take them to these prisons, and rape them. Doesn't matter if it's a boy or a girl. They'll rape them anyway. And this has been written about. Same thing at Guantanamo. You know, at Abu Ghraib, we were raping the sons of people that we wanted to confess things. We go and get their son and rape them in front, rape his son in front of him until he would cry and sign whatever Americans wanted. And we learned how to do that from the Judeo-Bolsheviks. In fact, we had Alan Dershowitz talking on national television, saying that torturing people was a good thing. I'll never forget him saying that. I have it on tape somewhere. And I'm sure you can find it on YouTube. If I have it, other people have it. The court, in making this decision about the former Israeli president, Moshe Katsav, said that everyone is equal and every woman has the right to her body. You see, now every time a government official opens his mouth, he's lying. The court said that everyone is equal and every woman has the full right to her body. Now there you have a court that's lying through its teeth. Because these courts have had these women come to them time and again in Israel saying, I was kidnapped, I've been made into a whore, you know, I have a right to be free, and they're sent right back to the whorehouse. So for a court to sit there with a straight face and say that everyone is equal and every woman has a full right to her body, this is crazy. Actually, this wasn't the court saying it. It was his Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, who's probably had, I would guess that he's probably tasted more than one woman. He's been in politics for 40 or 50 years, and don't a lot of them get into that because they get free whores? I know the Senate is known in the House for picking up telephones and getting whores. And I think they got other people to pay for it. Now, you know, there was that Spitzer, was that his name? He was the governor of New York, and he was kicked out because he was using
state money or campaign money or something like that to get whores for free. And I think he's working for Fox News now. How appropriate. You know, a whoremonger working for Fox News. This is great. It shows the moral fiber of Fox News. I'm just so proud of them. And I can see him reading the story about Moshe Katsav and saying that everyone has an equal and every woman has everyone is equal and every woman has the full right to her body, like Prime Minister Netanyahu just said. I can see him reading that. Well, Netanyahu also said that it was a sad day for Israel and its citizens because someone of high station had to go to jail. And that goes against the lie that every Israeli leader is a beautiful person of high moral standards, and that the Jews in Israel are of high moral standards, when in fact many of them are just as much of a slut, just as much of a whoremonger as the Israeli president Moshe Katsav, who's going to jail for what other Israelis do all the time. I don't want to cheat you. I want to be honest with you and give you the full dirt on Mr. Katsav. I brought it up, and you have a right to know all the dirt on him. And I know that you're interested, because I know in your dirty little mind you want to know everything. Because you're a typical Brit or a typical American or a typical Israeli, because you're listening to me. And I know you want to know all the filth that's involved. Because when you read your newspapers, you get a lot of that filth. When you listen to TV or even watch a movie, you get that filth. They'll even act it. They'll even make it up as a fiction so that you can get all that filth in your ears and your eyes and enjoy yourselves while you're getting fat by eating that popcorn that has all that terrible cholesterol in it, because they use coconut oil to cook it in, even though they know it's going to kill you. Well, here's the dirt. The Tel Aviv District Court found Katsav, who's 65 years old, by the way, guilty of two counts of raping an employee in 1998 when he was Israel's tourism minister. Now, it doesn't say exactly how that rape took place, but evidently she accused him of it. It also convicted Katsav of lesser counts of indecent acts, sexual harassment involving two other women who worked for him when he was president, from 2000 to 2007, and obstruction of justice. No, that's what they had Clinton on, wasn't it? And Clinton was doing stuff. He was having sex with that little Jewish chick, Monica Lewinsky. She said that she was going to Washington and she was bringing her knee pads with her, remember? Well, you see, the Jews and the Goyim have all this in common. They have perverts at the top of their governments. Katsav denied all allegations, claiming he was a victim of a political witch hunt. And he suggested he was targeted because he's a Sephardic Jew, a Jew of Middle Eastern origin. But in Thursday's ruling, the three-judge panel said his version of events was strewn with lies. Well, I mean, if it's strewn with lies, then he should be given a Best Israeli of the Year award, because most of the leaders of Israel have speeches strewn with lies that they give to the people. They go to the UN and their speeches are strewn with lies. They come to America, their speeches to the president are strewn with lies. They go to Today Show and their speech and their answering of questions are strewn with lies. I mean, if his defense is strewn with lies, then he should be granted the status as a great Israeli, it would seem to me. Well, why are they suddenly drawing the line here? A somber Katsav left the courtroom without commenting, surrounded by his legal team, security guards, and family members. His wife, Gila, didn't appear in court. She must be the Gila monster, huh? I bet he's in trouble. He was ordered to surrender his passport while awaiting sentencing on a date that was not immediately set. Late Thursday, he was holed up in his home with his family. Israel's presidency is a largely ceremonial post, traditionally given to elder statesmen as a reward for a lifetime of public service, probably for being a political whore. And what does every political whore want? He wants sex with women. Why else would you want to have political office? It seems like everybody, once they get to the top, like John F. Kennedy, he's elected president of the United States. He's got Jackie down there on the inauguration party. And he goes upstairs in the White House and has sex with Marilyn Monroe. Oh, this is what these buzzards do. Not only in Israel, but in America, Russia, everywhere else. They're a bunch of sots. They're whoremongers, all of them. And, you know, to accuse Saddam's sons of raping women in Baghdad, and have politicians who were, like Nixon and Bush, who may even have been having sex in the White House with young men. At least there's all sorts of stories suggesting such. I mean, who are these people? Who are these people to point their finger at somebody else without somebody pointing their finger at them? Winning the office capped a career in which Katzoff became a model of success for Sephardic Jews, who for decades were a Jewish underclass in Israel relative to the well-off European-rooted establishment. These Sephardic Jews they have been put upon. In fact, there were some of them that were they were from Morocco, and the Jews irradiated them with high levels of radiation. Their children, they put them into camps. This was like in the 1950s, 60s. They put them into camps, and they said, "Well, they had ringworm." And then the Jews are very racist, and these kids were they had brown skin, and these racist white Jews from Europe put them into camps and used plutonium to radiate their scalps, and a lot of them got all sorts of medical problems later in life from it, and they were very, very ill. And you can see it on Jew Watch. Go up to Jew Watch and look for radiated children on Jew Watch. Yeah, they radiated them. They gave them X-rays that were 80 times beyond fatal doses in some cases. Your friendly Jews. And now Katzoff, he's convicted of raping a woman. How would he know that he was raping her? I mean, he may have had sex with so many whores who protested as having sex that he no longer knew, after 65 years of being a politician, whether he was raping somebody or having consensual sex. They had probably all said no. I mean, look at the man. Just take one look at him. He looks like a pig. I mean, who would want to have sex with somebody like that? I mean, you know, he would stop the advances of a woman at 50 paces. There's a woman in the world who would have sex with him unless he gave them a great deal of money. And of course, fortunately, he worked for the government, so he was able to, get a great deal of money to give to these whores so he could have them. So at any rate, for some reason, he's going to jail, and the rest of the Israeli Gestapo, who've done the same thing and had sex with all these whores around the world, because they're offered to all these people who were high persons in government, because that's the way diplomacy is conducted. You give me 500 acres for a military base, and I will give you 7 nights with the best whore in Baghdad. Now, this is the way it is. So we got finished with him. What do you think, huh? Should they put him in jail, or should they let him have his way with some more women? And do you really think that he knows when he's raping somebody? He's had so much sex with so many people who didn't want to have it in his lifetime as a politician. Because most whores probably don't want to have sex with somebody, especially if they've been kidnapped from Eastern Europe. And here are these politicians all over, and young men and soldiers all over Israel having sex with these women, which is a form of rape, that they don't even know what rape is anymore. They can't reason it out anymore. That's how far gone they are. Well, the scandals are brewing in the center of Judeo-Bolshevism in America, which is in New York City, where a blizzard has dumped approximately 25 to 35 inches of snow, depending on the borough in which you're living there. And it hasn't been cleaned up yet. And Mayor Bloomberg is under severe pressure. He's been embarrassed by this. And now we find out in the Times that the workers who are supposed to clean the snow up were told to ride through the streets with their blades a few inches above the snow to pretend that they were pushing the snow away, but to be sure that they didn't push it away, because the city of New York had gotten rid of a lot of the high-paying jobs for these workers, and a lot of the high-paying management that had been fired because the city couldn't afford it anymore. And a lot of the extras these people were getting were taken away because of the economic crisis. And so they were told by their union, according to this story, that their union people told them, don't clean up anything. Clean up some of the boulevards, other ones don't clean them up. And they gave them a list of boulevards to clean up and other ones not to. And two people have died because they couldn't get an ambulance. Well, one woman had a baby in a hotel lobby, and it was 9 hours before they got to her, and her baby was already dead. And I believe there were two others that died who weren't even having babies. They just died because they had a heart attack, or they lost blood or whatever. They were injured. So people have died from this, and here you have the union telling these people not to to do their job, that it's time to slow things down and to make the New Yorkers suffer because the government didn't give the money and the benefits to the people who do these jobs that they thought they should get. And so now it's payback time. Here's the biggest snowstorm that ever hit New York, and now we're going to make New York suffer. That's what we're going to do. Well, now you can imagine the Judeo-Bolshevik lawyers in New York reaching for their telephones in order to file cases in court. Are they going to have a field day with this? And we're going to hear about this for a long, long time. If this is true, it's an absolute outrage. I'm not absolutely certain it's true. I haven't heard from the union myself yet, but I heard on the radio that, and that's what I'm quoting, that in the New York Times or the New York Post, one of these newspapers, they were talking about how the union told these people not to clean the streets properly. I know, you're like the TSA and you want to touch the junk of the guy that doesn't want you to touch it when he goes flying at the airport. But you want to touch the junk on the story, so I'm going to give you the junk on the story so you can touch it. And I'm going to read to you from, let's see, where is this? This is a story at Mediaite by John Bershad. It's dated today, that Fox News warns that New York snow cleaning union protests could be coming to your town next. And it says, the saga of why parts of New York remain inescapably covered with snow days after this weekend's blizzard got a strange twist this morning. When the New York Post reported City Councilman Dan Hellerun's claims that the sanitation workers had admitted to him that the slow cleanup was part of an intentional protest by the unions over budget cuts. Is this true? Could workers for New York have not processed the snow, leaving the citizens without any means to get to work or to get to a place to have food or to get to a hospital? On Your World Today, Brian Sullivan, in for Neil Cavuto, on Fox, brought on Hellerun to discuss his story, as well as the Wall Street Journal's Steve Moore, who warned that these kind of union pseudo-strikes could pop up all over the country in the coming year. The story goes that sanitation workers in Hellerun's district in Queens came to him to tell him that their union leaders had specifically instructed them to delay the cleanup so as to protest months of budget cuts and demotions. They were told to only stick to streets on their routes and avoid some of those streets, to keep their plows slightly above street level so as to clean less, and just stay home until specifically told to. This is really disgusting, isn't it? I mean, it would be funny, except people died from this. And I've been stuck in snowstorms like this. It's a very horrible thing. And for the very people who are supposed to do the cleaning to not do it. This is not right. This is totally immoral. Obviously, these claims are huge allegations, and as such, are ones that many people are handling delicately. Mayor Bloomberg has ordered an investigation, but in a press conference deliberately said he didn't think the delay took place. Hellerun told Sullivan the mayor was being circumspect. Moore then came on to deliver the grim prognosis about whether or not there will be tons more towns under the thumb of evil union plots by the end of the year. Well, that's Fox. You know, they have to milk the story. I mean, you know, there was a joke about that there was a woman that died, and she was taken to the dairy first before she was buried because her husband was a reporter for Fox News and he wanted to milk her one more time. Well, it's, you know, it's amazing. Anyway, can you imagine a union telling people to lift their plow blades up so they wouldn't scrape as much snow, so that it would stay dangerous in the city, so that no one would be able to get anywhere because of the demotions and the reductions in pay that they'd had to undergo because of the depression that's going on? Like I tell you, folks, the news is so hilarious. It's sick humor is what it is, but it's hilarious. If you like sick humor, and if you're listening to me, you probably do like sick humor, because almost everything the United States does when it lies is sick. Almost everything England does when it lies is sick. Everything that the Judeo-Bolsheviks of New York say when they're discussing banks and what they're going to do to help us if we give them $1 trillion is sick. All this stuff is sick. The president of Israel raping women, it's sick. We live in a sick world. We live in a sick society of people who worship money. And they'll do anything for money. They want money, they want power. And if it means chopping off the arms and legs of your daughter and your son, who joined the military because they've got no place else they can find a job, well, then that's what they do. And that's why the United States is at war every single day of the week. That, you know, the door never closes on the Temple of Janus in America. In Rome, they had this Temple of Janus, and when there was peace, the gates of Janus would be closed. But we don't even have Janus. Our gates are open all the time. We have thousands of military bases both here, threatening people if they ever want to have a rebellion. Well, we'll send the military from the base 100 miles outside of your town, and they'll kill you. That's hanging over everybody's head here. And that's one reason why we have wars and bases elsewhere, is so that we can justify having the military here in case you want to have a rebellion against these vicious people in Washington. You know, in the back of your mind, these people will gladly come over to your house and kill you. Well, I mean, you know, the Queen of England used to take people more important than you up into the tower and cut their damn heads off, you know. Your head would be nothing to these people. I can assure you, if you lifted one finger against this criminal government, that they'd put you in jail. They'd call you a terrorist. They'd call you a traitor. And they're out there terrorizing and murdering and sending the rapist armies all over the world that are raping the women and children of Iraq right now. They're raping the women and children of Korea right now and everywhere they're stationed, Okinawa, etc. You can ask any Japanese person, what do you think about the American rapes of women and children in Okinawa? They'll tell you all about it. You think you have a nice professional army? You got a bunch of criminals there, folks. You certainly do. And they're certainly no better than the story that we heard about Saddam Hussein's sons. And the irony of sending American soldiers who are known as rapists to Baghdad to stop Saddam's sons from raping people. Why? So the Americans can rape them? That was my first question. But then, you know, I spend my time reading the news for what's really there rather than what the liars who are writing the news have to say about it. Well, of course, they're working for the Judeo-Bolsheviks, and many of them are Judeo-Bolsheviks, and some of them probably don't even know they're lying anymore. Their stories have been edited so many times by the creeps who run these newspapers for the Rothschilds that they just don't know anything anymore. Stay in there, folks. The world is still alive, and so are you, and I'll be back tomorrow. Have a great time.